Hello. Hi, James. Hi, Nicholas.
Hi, Debbie.
I'm so happy to get to speak with the two of you after
Oh,
watching.
my gosh. Wow. Well, please lower your expectations. We're really not that interesting.
Well, you might not think you're that interesting, but I love your work on
Well, thank you.
camera, writing, and directing. So I have admired both of you for some time.
Oh, wow. That's so nice to hear. Thank you.
And I have to tell you, French Girl, I watched it at 2:30 this morning.
Wow, it's 2:30 a.m.
2:30 a.m. Yep.
You didn't have to do that.
Oh
Wait,
my
wait
God.
for the day. Or do you work in a coal mine or something? I appreciate it.
No, I didn't get the link until late last night. I was gone all day yesterday.
My goodness.
But I have to tell you, I smiled from beginning to end watching French Girl. It is delightful. It's light, it's
So nice to hear.
bright.
I mean, look, that was one of the things we wanted to do from the get-go is make a movie. And they don't make these movies very much anymore. It's a lot harder to make. But the world is turning into a really difficult place to live. So we wanted to make a movie that did exactly that. And to hear you say that is immensely gratifying. Huge.
I'm watching the film, and as I'm watching it, the one word that kept popping into my mind, the two words, frothy and fun.
Oh, nice. That's
Just.
awesome. Well, that's how I order coffee at
Ah! What?
Starbucks. I say, give me a frothy and fun coffee.
But, knowing your work, knowing you, I mean, Nicholas, you in White House Down,
Oh, yes.
you're one of the best things in the entire film. You
Oh, my
always.
gosh. That was so much fun. I mean, that's how we ended up working with Roland Emmerich on the sequel to Independence Day. Like, I worked on that for, God, it felt like forever. We also shot that in Montreal, but then we formed a fast friendship with Roland, and then James and I got somehow wrapped up in writing the sequel to Independence Day, which was a weird journey. Like, it was crazy, but it was so fun. Yeah, that was wild.
In your performance as Donnie, I mean, still, every time I see you in White House Down, you just make me laugh and smile.
That's nice of you
How
to
many
say.
times have you watched White House Down?
Not enough. Keep
I'm
watching.
a little bitter of Debbie. They cut me out of the goddamn movie. I don't
Well,
want to talk about this
I'm really ups
anymore.
I'm upset by that. But okay, but one thing you're not cut out of, James, is your
Yeah.
work on Independence Day Resurgence. Because
Yeah, I am.
contrary to most people, number one, you gave Bill Pullman an incredible return and ultimate exit. Anybody that treats my pal Bill well is okay by me.
Such a good dude. I mean, talk about bills. We have the two best bills on earth.
Yeah.
Bill Spigner and Bill Pullman. I mean,
Yeah, who would win in a fight between those guys?
We don't have to find out.
No,
We don't ever
no,
find
we
out. What we
don't.
do know
Yeah.
is that on screen, it's Holyfield and Tyson.
Oh my God.
They're just such formidable
They
forces.
are.
And, I mean, speaking of Bill Figner, he was our first phone call for French Girl. And the fact that he said yes literally changed the quality of the movie.
Yeah. He elevates the entire film. It's crazy.
He's hilarious, and a lot of people don't think of him for comedy. But
No. I
he
mean,
is
he's been in these
so.
hugely dramatic movies like
Yes.
Heat and Black Hawk Down and, all these Dark Knight, like really intense
Have you,
movies.
what's the indie he did, Armageddon?
Oh, Armageddon. Yeah,
That
that little
that
independent
little
little
film,
film.
yeah.
Yeah.
From NYU student.
Oh God, it's really great to be in his presence and just constantly ask him stories about, Michael Mann and
We can get in trouble scheduling wise in the day because we will pull him aside and say, like, give us another Michael Bay story.
Yeah.
And then we just run late and overtime, and we're like, uh-oh, James and Nick are being cinephiles again.
Yeah.
Well, one of the great things with Bill and what he does here in French Girl is his comedy. I mean, he really balls to the wall, laugh out loud funny, and
Yeah.
you shoot this and you have the film structured so well so that the nudnik kind of hapless elements that Zach Braff brings to Gordon, you feel that it is generational and genetic.
Yeah, 100%. They matched really well as
Yeah.
father son, and in their idiosyncrasies, their energy, 100%. You see exactly where he gets it, and that was partly constructed, but also partly, like, so much of directing is about casting, and
really feel that.
I mean, everything in filmmaking is a miracle. You know, for one thing to go right, you need 1,000 things to go right. And those two elements, you know, having Zach and having Zach Braff and William Fichtner, I mean, it changed the movie in a way that we literally, you know, those names were at the top of our list in the impossible category.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, well, who would we like Gordon to be? We're like a Zach Braff type, you know? That mm-hmm. was when we opened the archetype.
A Google Doc.
Yeah. We're like a Zach Braff type. We didn't know it was going to be actually Zach Braff.
No.
That was our intrepid producer, you know, Bard. And Valerie Jote, they made it happen.
Yeah, we just got really lucky, and the gods of Hollywood smiled upon us on that day.
Yeah.
I mean, your whole cast is impeccable. Vanessa is perfect as Ruby.
Incredible, right? And it's sad that she doesn't do more comedy, because she has such a musician's brain. She's so good with rhythm, which is the key, you know, to comedy.
Yes.
And hopefully she'll do more, because she's really, really, really funny. People see that.
Watching her in the trilogy, the Princess Switch trilogy that she did, and watching her take on two characters and then three characters, just absolutely amazing. And she can go from haughty arrogance to sweetness. She can turn on a dime. And her beats, she hits every beat, and her pacing is great. She delivered that in spades in French Girl as Ruby.
No, she had fun doing it. I don't think, to play this villain, like you say, she's got such a wide range.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to push her as far as we could go, you know, and we had a great time with her. She was
She's legitimately the nicest person in the world.
Yeah.
But, man, she can play evil pretty well.
Yes.
And not all who she is as a person, quite the opposite. She's one of the loveliest people that we've ever worked with.
And we're blessed that she was able to sing in our movie as well. Like, to have Vanessa Hudgens sing on your project is pretty much...
And also follow the direction that we were telling her, like, you need to sing really well but badly.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I'll talk about like vulnerability and being, you know, being open and trusting to your directors. She wholeheartedly said yes and embraced it. And I think, you know, that moment in the movie speaks for itself.
It's hilarious. It made me think of a dying dog howling.
Yeah. That was our direction.
That was it.
You are a dying dog.
Now, but you know, guys, you have so much. You've got fun in here. You've got a beautiful location. You have some incredible performances from your Canadian actors, such as Muriel Dutil as Mammy is just a scream. Luc Picard as Alphonse is an absolute delight. But this whole story, where did the idea for this story come? Because you get this great story. It looks beautiful. Your cinematography, Jean-Francois' cinematography is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Your performances are great.
He's just on it for CSA.
Really?
Today?
Yes.
Yeah. This is a good friend of ours who was the
cinematographer.
He was just nominated for a Canadian Screen Award.
He's incredible.
It's flawless. He just shot a pilot for us this summer. And I mean, the guy... Look, the movie doesn't happen, of course, with the great cast that we have without them, but it also doesn't happen without that guy. Like, this is an artist who knew the confines of our schedule and knew that, you know, it's kind of a hybrid, I could say like a hybrid studio film that meets independent film. And in that sense, he knew what the mandate was, that we had to move, because we only shot this for 32 days. And him and his team made it happen.
Yeah.
Anyhow, sorry. But that's a sidebar, perhaps, but we have to make it, because he literally is a Jedi.
But to answer your question about the genesis of the story, James and I have a very similar background. We're both from Montreal with English-Canadian fathers who married French-Canadian women. And, you know, that, you know, it was staring us in the face. We're like, that's a great sort of setup for romantic comedy. You know, the ones that we used to watch all the time when we were growing up, like, they don't really make anymore. And we said, no one's really done this yet. So should we? Can we? Are we allowed to do this? And so we deigned and we did. And then what better setting than Quebec City, which is this medieval town on a hill? Like, it's literally the Europe of Canada. It's 400 years old, and it has such a beautiful backdrop for a fairy tale love story.
Yeah, 450 years
old. It's a lot old.
Yeah.
It's a lot old. And, you know, it's got the Chateau Frontenac. It has its own castle.
No, so. And we were, if you remember Catch Me If You Can, but there's this scene where, you know, Tom Hanks busts Leo in the European town. We got to shoot there. We got to shoot
there. It's good enough for Spielberg.
Yeah, it's good enough for Woods Wright.
You're darn right. The cinematography, it is beautiful. And the fact that the farm itself, the color, you've got color on the buildings that pop, the wood trims and all.
Yeah. It's,
but then you have the icing on the cake here of so much food styling and gorgeous lensing of food.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that was the whole thing. Yeah, it was that was fun to shoot. We had a great food stylist. And JF as well shoots, he also shoots a lot of commercials, you know, in his career. So he knows how to shoot that stuff. And it was really fun to get into that and to nerd out on sort of like the lenses and how do we shoot this really close and how do we light it. And he was great with that. He's like a master at that stuff. And it can be technically kind of boring to shoot, to be honest. Like you're really just sitting there and you're fussing with these little lighting setups and, you know, there's no actors on set. It's meticulous. It's very meticulous.
But at the same time, it was so important for us because a lot of, you know, the film and also Quebec and you know, what inspired to write this is, you know, food. I think our families and friends and people of this gorgeous province, we all come together around dinner tables, like a lot of places in the world.
Yeah.
But certainly Quebec celebrates that. And so for us, it was very important to have that being included in the movie. And what better backdrop than to give it to, you know, our lead character and have that be kind of a source of conflict, but also a source of, you know, celebration. And yeah, so we were like, as well, we get to taste it all. So
well, of course.
Why not indulge?
Yeah.
We'll do a movie about wine.
You had a lot of wine flowing here, too, but what I love...
We do. A lot of the camera and behind. Yeah, there was a lot of wine flowing.
Some nice dinners were had.
So, and something that I noticed with your food styling and your food prep, the food at the Tremblay home is done family style in the big plates, and it looks like you've got like ratatouille kind of stuff happening there.
Exactly.
Really some nice, thick, hearty food. Contrasting that with the fancy schmancy, very prim and proper, no drippings on the edge of the plate stuff at Ruby's restaurant.
Yeah.
And I love that differential.
It's like, look, at the end of the day, you know, those restaurants are great, those sort of very hoity-toity, highfalutin, Michelin star, three Michelin star restaurants, they're great, and they're reinventing food, you know, they make a tomato taste like a raspberry, and like, they do all kinds of crazy stuff, and mozzarella balloons, and
but it's very inventive.
It's not really our jam.
It's not our jam. We're much more in the sort of family style, like you say, you know, sort of everybody's sharing these hearty plates of thick, you know, pasta and ratatouille and big meaty dishes. It's kind of where we're, you know, where we're from and what we wanted to celebrate. And so that's why, you know, we thought the contrast would be a fun sort of thing to do.
It's really like, you know, not to talk about some of our friends that are chefs here, but, you know, Anthony Bourdain would love to come to Montreal for, you know, the Dave McMillans and the Chuck Hugheses and literally those restaurants that instead of dialing into that esoteric culinary experience are like, no, let's hold hands at the dinner table. Let's have a big plate and know that the point here is to share, because the table is that, right? You're sharing conversation,
right?
Life experiences and food should be that. And so we love to attach that to our character. And to know that, you know, that point of conflict is represented in what she's going through, but at the culinary level, you know, like I'm up against family and then I'm up against ego. Which side am I going to choose? And we thought that was a really fun backdrop. Yeah.
But I just can't believe you guys tackled so much. This is your first feature directorial. So you've got your cast.
Much. You should know that we're geniuses.
Well, I know that. I know that. But not only do you have the different food stylings and a lot of food you're dealing with and comedy and the comedy beats and your visual tonal bandwidth, but then you've also got a lamb. You're dealing with a lamb. Now, how cooperative was that lamb on camera?
Really, I mean, we had...
Oh my God. Like, we didn't, we wrote the film and set it at a farm, you know, and we didn't quite realize just how much animal wrangling would be involved. But in this film, we have a swan, we have a cat, we have a fucking lamb, we have so many animals. And the swan, though, is interesting. We asked them in pre-production, we're like, how are we going to do this? Like, do swans, can they respond to training? Like, what's...
swans respond to training?
Yeah, I don't know.
That was an actual question.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the answer is yes.
The answer is yes. So they said, what we do is we're going to get you a little baby swanling, whatever they're called, and they train it from birth to sort of respond to certain stimuli, and they did it. And so that swan was literally born to be in this movie. And,
oh, my.
And she did a great job. She did a great job.
But, yeah, we got really lucky. We had a great animal wrangler. Didn't break any laws.
No.
Everything very great. Safe.
No animals were harmed in the making
of the movie. But again, I think it goes back to, you know, those comedies that Nick and I grew up on in the 80s and 90s, like, there's got to be an animal.
Yeah, like that. You got to have it.
Gotta.
Like, Ferris sequence and Along Came Polly and the cat and Meet the Parents. Like, it's just something that it adds that classic texture. You
and
know?
It breaks any linguistic barrier.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's international and, you know, comedy doesn't translate, but animals do.
Yeah.
And so.
Nobody speaks their language. Speaks goose. No.
Or swan. Or cat.
Yeah.
No. This was such an ambitious endeavor, guys. But you hit it out of the park on every level. And where everything came together is with the editing. You have an incredible editor on this film. I just love what he did for the Ladybug and Cat Noir animated film.
Yeah, very good with animation. Yeah, we were so lucky to get him that he was available even. Ivan Subido is a very high-in-demand editor.
His resume is crazy.
Yeah.
We're like, well, let's just, you know, a little bit like the French-Canadian movie stars that we have. We're like, well, look, we're probably not going to get them, but let's ask.
And the crazy thing about Ivan Subido is he edited the first feature film that James and I acted in together, Hadley High, in 2002.
Aww.
And so he's like, I think I've edited you guys. And then the fact that he edited the first film that we were in together and that he was going to edit our feature directorial debut was very poetic and beautiful.
Yeah.
Because the pacing is wonderful. The film moves along. You give us, like, little moments to breathe, little moments of quiet.
Yeah.
But it never stagnates. It keeps moving, but it doesn't rush. It's very natural.
We had a rule, the three of us, that the movie just had to be 95 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, let's not overstay our welcome. You know, what does John Hughes do?
Let's do that.
Let's do that. Whatever. You know, and again, it goes back to, like, the nature of what this movie, at the beginning, what we intended to be was, you know, a throwback rom-com, and you can't enjoy yourself too much.
Right.
And look at yourself in the mirror too much. And we're like, let's keep it moving. And our job is to know that the characters and the writing is enough. We don't have to overindulge. People want to, you know, they want to watch something, but they don't want to watch it too long.
No.
For real. Like,
yeah.
But attention spans are eroding. Look, with our phones and with, you know, just the social media, we know we got to keep it moving, man. You can't sit too long. Like, let's go. And for comedy as well, the pace is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's
Oppenheimer, one of my favorite movies of the year.
The funniest movie of the year.
First of all, it's the funniest movie of the year.
That joke, that button at the end.
But it literally took me 4 days to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Long haul. I'm never newborn, so that might be why.
But also, by the way, with JF as a shooter, comedy is important in the edit, but it's also important on the day. Like,
yes.
Keep the pace of the shoot moving is very important. So there's no languishing. There's no sort of sagging of energy on set. And JF was really good with that as well, just to keep the train moving and, like, let's not get stuck in a setup for too long. Let's go, go, go.
So I've got to ask you guys, your first feature directorial, what was the learning curve like for you?
We're background as actors, and then we spent, what, like 8-10 years writing as well, just dedicated to writing and being on sets of some pretty huge movies and working with people like Roland Emmerich and Seth Gordon, like, you know, people who are handling 80 million plus 150 million budgets and seeing what that takes that gave us a huge foundation, and we learned a lot working on those big movies.
And we felt pretty safe in the sense that, you know, it wasn't that huge studio film that we'd spent the better part of the last kind of decade around. And so in that way, we, you know, we kind of felt that we could tackle something of this size. It wasn't too daunting because we'd seen the best of the best kind of do it at such a massive level that this was like coming home,
yeah,
so to speak, or literally.
But definitely things to learn. Like every day there were new challenges, and how do you handle a crew, and how do you, you know, it's how do you troubleshoot when the weather is bad, and what do you do? And it's all about planning. And if you have the, we were blessed with such an incredible team,
and we were also very lucky that a few of our cast members are very competent, qualified filmmakers in their own right. So, you know, you widen the think tank, and you know that you've got a few people to trust, and then you just have to trust yourself and kind of and go for it, and know that nothing will go flawlessly, nothing is going to be seamless. You have to adjust and restitch. But again, it goes back to the team. And if you've got a great team, then you know that it's gonna get done.
Yeah.
Well, guys, you got it done. You got it done beautifully. I so love this film. I thoroughly enjoyed it. As I said, it made me smile from beginning to end. I will be watching it again. But right now, I want to see the two of you make more films like this.
Oh, please call everybody in Hollywood and tell them exactly.
Yeah, why don't you send a fax out? Can you run a streaming service for us,
and just commission movies? That would be great. Thank you.
You guys have a storytelling and filmmaking voice that we need, and that is so enjoyable and so complete. You hit all the marks. You didn't leave anything dangling and hanging, and it's just a joy to watch this film.
Thank you.
Wow, thank
you.
That's so nice. My God.
Well, listen, can you call my mom and say those?
I'll make sure you get the link to my piece, and I'll have the audio so she can hear me say it.
Oh, that would be great. Love it. Yes.
Well,
love
thank
that.
You for taking the time. We
thank
really,
you
really
so
appreciate
much.
It.
We really appreciate it.
Guys, this has been great, and I hope we get to do this again in the future.
Oh, my God. I hope so. Absolutely.
100% we will.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.